And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 239. I'm Science Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And this is Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Yeah. So we're here today. It's a host versus host today in Black and a Half. We have good discussion about what's been happening over the last couple weeks. My foray into guitarhood, I guess you could say. We talk about cuddling as a profession, and it just goes on from there.
I mean, of course, you can't help talking about food a little bit and Silas's upcoming cookbook.
Yes. That's people are going to be very excited. At the end of this episode. But I do want to take this moment as we approach the 4th of July, and just past Juneteenth, to thank everyone out there for celebrating America. You know, where we do things our way. Okay, America. We do things our way. It's going to be our new slogan. I'm pitching it to Congress, Samantha. What do you think?
I was thinking of fast food. I was like, which one is?
That's Burger King.
I was going to say Burger King. I wish there was a Burger King around the corner.
I made Samantha very hungry. I made Samantha hungry throughout this episode as well.
Yes.
So if you are about to eat, if you are hungry right now, you should probably grab something to eat before you listen to this, because I'm gonna make you hungry. That's just what I do.
You might also think that some of our food choices sound disgusting.
and that is your right as an American. That is your right to be disgusted at our food choices. And as an American, you should just take those food choices and eat more than you should. That's what I say, to really fit in. In America, fit in. Let's make America healthy again, folks. Okay. Oh my God, I'm gonna throw up. So, sit back, relax, open your hearts, and open your ear holes, and listen to episode number 239. Food, food, food. I just watched a Facebook video. I didn't get to see it. It was a court case resolving someone. They refused service. What do you think of? Have you heard of cuddle therapy?
I have heard. I don't know if I've heard of cuddle therapy, but I have heard that there are some people who will like pay people to cuddle them.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm intrigued by what you said about the court case too. I didn't hear.
I just saw because I was watching it and I'm like, oh, what is it? Like when I say court case, I mean like a Judge Judy level court case.
Oh,
right.
Okay,
But the headline said, woman suing cuddle therapist after he cancels her session because of her outfit. And so I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, what did she wear? What's going on?
Yeah, I need to see visuals.
Right. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, I've heard about this, the cuddle therapy idea that sometimes people have been lacking physical touch for so long, like they're recommended like this kind of service that where it's platonic, it's a business. It's supposed to be you just to get that used to physical touch and comfort. But I also can't help but like laugh at it. But I laugh at everything, right? So I'm like, how much? Like it seems silly and crazy. But then I'm like, how much would you get paid? Is it? Huh? Would I do that? Like you just sit there and hold someone's hand, and you're just like, huh? Talk to them.
That's Bye. Actually really funny, because actually when I first heard about this years ago, I thought, oh, I could do that. I'm a hugger. I like hugging people. That would just be natural. And then I thought, oh, but if it's somebody that you really don't want to hug, that you feel like cringy, you know, you don't want to have physical contact with some people. I thought, oh, then you probably have to do it because it's your job. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't do it.
I don't think you have to take everybody, but I think it could end up being a little weird.
Yeah.
If, yeah, you're refusing some people, but I mean, obviously if there's an ick, like, cause I imagine as innocent as it's supposed to be, there are probably people who try to get in on it that are not like they're the nefarious types who just like, yeah. I just want to be hugged. How far will it go? Which is probably like the screening process, I imagine, has to be some good questions to see if it's a good fit. I don't know. Like, I am fascinated. I was like, this is what we've done to our society. We've made it where you have to pay somebody for physical touch. Like, just, this is how disconnected we've become. Though I've heard about this for a long time, so I don't know when it actually started, but there's part of me that's like, it's a little sad statement that we lack physicality, basic human needs, so much that sometimes people have to pay for it.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's sad. And then there's the other part of me that is like, well, you know, I'm always looking at like the other sides, like you are too. It's just, you know, sometimes you might not want it to mean anything. Like, you just want to be comforted, or you want the compression maybe.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. Maybe you don't trust anybody, or it might be weird with somebody that you knew. So it would be, I don't know, maybe kind of in a way, almost like getting a massage. Like, getting a massage for most people would be a little bit strange from just like their friends or family.
That's true.
You know, so maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
I don't know if it would for theater people though, because that's like where I first learned about like massage circles.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. When I wasn't in theater school, it was weird. When I was in theater school, it was super normal. And then now that I've been out long enough, now it would be so strange.
I think it would be, I will say, mm-hmm. I feel like in college, getting a massage from somebody seemed a little more innocent, like probably an element of exploration of boundaries that are happening, like, and being comfortable with people. Like, the cuddle circles were fine, but like, then sometimes people are like, oh, hey, I'll give you a massage. Oh yeah. Like, oh, okay. And then you're learning. I do feel as an adult now, like a grown person, well grown, I kind of want a professional, like just a overall, unless it was like public.
Yeah, exactly. Cause like the atmosphere of it is different. It's different when you're all rehearsal and everybody's giving everybody massages, and it's just kind of like, that's like giving everybody a high five is very different. Yeah. Than like somebody comes over to your apartment and they,
yeah, it's different. If I said, hey, massage. I'm going to go give Samantha a massage tonight. She just needs one.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. That would be weird. I get them, or one of my neighbors like, oh no, I'm just going to go give so-and-so a massage. Like, you're what? What? Oh, it's innocent.
Because I was totally thinking about that this week. I was watching a TV show that had me thinking about like the old days and about how I used to like get these massages all the time and like theater school and stuff like that. I was told, it's so funny. I haven't thought about that in such a long time.
There was an economic driver there. Like all these free massages we were getting back then. Ah, had no idea it would end up costing me so much later. I should have relished it. I should have understood the beauty. Tell my daughter to be a theater major just so that she can get the free massages.
Yeah. Or else she's not, and then she could easily pay for all of her massages for life.
That's true. Yeah. But either become a theater person or get the good degree so that you can get some. Because you don't want to be like, you don't want to be like an art major, and then you're really not making money, and you didn't make money, and then you're not getting any massages.
Who knows what people are really going to make money at in the future? Because part of me is almost wondering, with so many things going like robotic and AI and stuff like that, are people just going to be paying so much money to go see live theater? Because they're like, yes, let me just see two humans talking and let me be in a room with other humans, please.
I do think there's going to be a novelty to real people in the same way that people will pay extra for a handmade leather, leather journal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can go get one for $10, but this is handmade by a craftsman. That's what it'll be like. Do you want to see a movie made with real people in it?
I know.
No AI people, real people.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, scandalous.
Yeah. I always feel like I have to say something good about AI, though, right afterwards, because, you know, got to stay on its good side. And, you know.
I you know what? To be honest, I am not super anti-AI. Like, I don't want it. I don't want it to like turn on us. Right. Of course. I don't want that. But the future that I was promised was full of AI. My Star Trek future is full of AI. It didn't. It augmented our lives, but didn't take it over, which is the hope. It continues. Makes tasks easier. I love using it to generate a soccer newsletter email, you know, where I love being able just to throw my thoughts out there and have my, it gives me an editor, or it gives me a secretary. It gives me the secretary, administrative assistant that I can't afford, particularly for volunteer jobs.
Yeah.
It gives me that assistant that I can use and go, I need this. This is what I want to say. Can you make this sound nice? And they go, oh, okay, yeah, I know your voice. I'll do that. It's just like if you were president of some organization or a VP and you had your assistant do it. It's the same thing. Like, they get your voice and then you edit it after, you know, like, I don't see problem. I understand the theft part. Theft is not good. Don't steal things. And I think the drawing part, you know, is hard.
Oh yeah, I just saw something. Oh, John Oliver just did something on AI.
Oh yeah, generative. Really, the generative AI, is that what it is? Is that what they call it when
I don't honestly.
When it uses other people's art to figure out to make something, I think it's called.
Okay, generative. He did a bit on that, and it was like, ooh,
interesting. Is that the latest one?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, I will check that out, because I do enjoy the debate about it. But I want a holodeck from Star Trek. The holodeck. Okay. Oh my gosh, you're making me sad, Samantha.
I'm sorry, but it sounds like a hologram. That's for Uno.
Oh, it's a hologram.
Hologram
program. Deck. My Invisalign. Deck.
No, you did say deck. You did say deck. Okay. I was just imagining.
Okay.
I was imagining a deck of cards.
Oh, you could. That could be in there.
I do need to watch it, though.
The holodeck is a room where you go into like a VR room, except you don't have to wear glasses. And it just creates everything. And the only way to get that and to be able to use it like they do in Star Trek is for AI to become more advanced. So I just need that to be a reality, and then I'll be okay.
I don't know. If it could just stay on the good way, like you're saying, fun, but
why? Just because nothing else has ever remained peaceful and wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why?
Well, they're right.
Do you know, this reminds me, though, I remember hearing the advancement of most of our modern technologies are basically because of the adult entertainment industry. Like, the consumer level affordability of HD and all this stuff is because adult entertainment productions started churning out this stuff. And they're like, oh, we want this equipment for this. Oh, so make this better. And there was a leading. And I had made jokes about this before I was a comedian. And then on NPR, there was an article like that. A thing came on about that and how the adult entertainment industry has been advancing technology for the last like 20, 25, 30 years, ever since, from small handheld cameras to everything. That's what really has pushed it. So it's kind of crazy. So they might be the ones to invent holodecks, kind of like Snapchat. Snapchat was a skeezy program to begin with, from my understanding. And now people just use it just to communicate.
Interesting. I mean, I guess I'm just thinking, if you can make that sort of 3D visual component to a holodeck, right? It's like creating room for you.
Yeah.
It's just with already so much like disinformation out there and already deep fakes and already like all of these things, then it's like, okay, so what level of trickery would that go through in, you know, the wrong hands?
Bad. It'll be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to see some real, the level. I have people close to me in life who fall for a lot of fear mongering businesses. And I just can't imagine, they're already falling for things, whether, you know, whether it's AI generated or just completely misused information. So I can't even imagine how bad it will be when they're going to try to show me videos and not just bad articles or bad faith statements.
And that's part of, I mean, John Oliver touches on some of that too.
Anybody
who hasn't watched the episode yet, just watch it.
I got to look up this person. I just shared their info. I love her. She's a new favorite of mine. Jessica Nurek. She's a PhD. So she's like a PhD, like something in involving nutrition and in nutrition information. Like basically she goes through videos where people do something like, oh, what ingredient is in this baby food? Oh, look, this is in baby food. Huh, that doesn't sound natural. Right. Where else could I find this? And then they go to a Home Depot and go, oh, look, here's a whole case of this you can buy. And it's a cleaning fluid. It's a cleaning material. Who thinks they need this in their baby food? And she's like a chemist too and a nutritionist, and she debunks these things and explains, well, that's ridiculous. That's not, there are things that are used in non-edible materials that can be used in edible materials. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's bad. Mm-hmm. And she uses the example is baking soda as a perfect example. We use that in cooking a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you look on the back, it says there's 500 different uses for this, including cleaning and, you know, refreshing. Like, baking soda can be used in a lot of different ways, but it doesn't, just because you can use it as a cleaner doesn't mean that it's unsafe to bake a cake with.
That's interesting. Yeah. It doesn't make sense, though, why so many people would be concerned about what's being put in our food, though.
Yeah, but and it's easy to start. Like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's no. Because also some edible products have some components in them which are helpful in creation of products. I remember, like, I believe seaweed was used in tires for some reason.
Interesting.
But nobody thinks seaweed is dangerous because we know what that is. But I think if you use the chemical makeup name of seaweed, you would probably get scared by it.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it doesn't even get listed as seaweed in ice cream, because that doesn't make sense to people.
Seaweed is an ice cream?
Seaweed isn't, it's actually seaweed that they use for, because it does something to the ice cream, as I think they use a seaweed to help with the saltiness of it, because it does something else that helps with the texture.
See, that would be a selling point for me.
Try that. Long before people thought of seaweed as a food, though, mm-hmm. right? And she also, what I love about her, she talks about dosing, how important dosing is, because the body can absorb certain amounts of almost anything, right? But only certain amounts. Like, you can overdose on water.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so it's the same as if, because she brought up, so mercury, right? Yeah. You're only supposed to have so much fish a week because of the mercury. Mm-hmm. And that's based on how long it takes your body to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Now, and what's funny is people bring up, say, oh, there's mercury in vaccines. Kind of, but not. The mercury in vaccines is different. It's not mercury like the kind that's in the fish. It's a offshoot of mercury. Like, but that amount is used in, it's a totally different thing, which lasts way less time in your body. And also the dosing of it is so tiny that it doesn't really affect, they find it doesn't affect people. Like, the dosing of everything matters, that what you put in your body and how long it takes your body to process it. And that's why you, without a degree in chemistry, you don't know what these things do or why or how. And mm-hmm. so she goes in and debunks these things, like the iron, you know, iron, right? Like iron supplements.
Yeah.
Or iron. They put iron in like cereal and oatmeal.
Yeah.
If you took a magnet, you can actually grab bits of iron out of baby oatmeal.
Really?
But you can also do it out of some other foods, other cereals. Huh. But because it is iron, like it's literally iron. But there's a certain amount you're allowed to take in. You have to have iron or you won't. It's hard to get.
I'm gonna try with the magnet. I don't have any baby food laying around.
Yeah. But like, you need iron to survive, really. Yeah. But take vitamin C
to help it absorb better.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like if you eat an egg while you have iron. No, orange juice. One of them.
Orange juice.
If you have an egg, you absorb the iron better. Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh. That's why orange juice tastes so delicious with eggs.
Probably. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Silas. That is like that. Your taste buds know sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just don't. And I'll get nauseous sometimes if I have eggs on their own. Like I'll have to eat something else with it. I wonder if there's probably something in there.
Could be.
Something absorption reason, I guess.
Yeah. So it's just like what I love her is I love people using science to kind of debunk these fear mongering folks who at the end of the day usually have something like they're trying to sell some all natural health supplement or this health coaching or something but they use fear mongering things that are like it seems very purposeful that you're. Once you start looking at what they're talking about, you're like, this feels manipulated, like, and calculated. Mm-hmm. Not like you are genuinely concerned about this thing. Like you're just trying to get us to buy something. That's ridiculous. And so anyway, long story short, I have relatives that fall for that. And it's so I think, yeah. So I do think that is the biggest danger of realistic AI is you're going to find. I don't even care if they have the six fingers on them still. They're going to still go, no, that's real. And I'll be,
some people have six fingers.
Like the six-fingered man from Princess Bride. Right?
Oh, okay. That's why it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The six-fingered man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no cuddling. What was it? There's something else I wanted to ask you about.
Just
we've got a couple weeks off, as the listeners will see. Yeah.
Life, And then next week is a holiday, right?
I think I just found that out.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
Isn't it the 4th next week?
The 4th of July is on a Friday next week.
Oh, okay. I guess I can't do it next week. just because
that's fine.
Schedule is wonky because of the holiday.
It is the blessing of holidays and the curse of holidays.
Right.
I will say I love Juneteenth, but man, it is one I am not used to.
Man, I was just thinking I should get like a barbecue or celebration going for Juneteenth. I haven't done a big celebration for it.
Any holidays that are on like Thursdays throw me off. Like what? Oh, I didn't even think to look for that.
Oh, that's so true. My week was so I kept on forgetting what day it was because
Thanksgiving is the only time I expect a holiday on a Thursday.
Yeah, that's true.
So any other time I'm like, what? What are you talking about? If it ain't Monday or Friday, it doesn't even make sense. Let me tell you about Juneteenth, though, the funniest thing that my son said.
Oh, I saw it on social. But yes.
So I'll share with everybody. We took him to a Juneteenth celebration, right, in Shoreline here. And he enjoyed it. He's just there. He doesn't know. Like, I didn't really talk to him. I guess I mentioned what Juneteenth celebrates. I was trying to explain it. Like, well, it's actually 2 years after, but it's the last people that were found out that slavery had ended. And then it's like almost a full week later that he brings me one of his pins that he got there. And they handed out little gift bags to people, right? And he asked me to put it on. And he says, so is there going to be no more slavery for the rest of the year? And I'm just like, and I'm like, oh, I think he misunderstood and thought we just ended slavery. Like, that it just ended. Granted, I don't think he fully understands what slavery was.
It would be horrifying for any child to really grasp that at such a young age. I think the only ones that fully grasp it at a young age are the ones who experienced it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Living that life.
Right. Well.
Yeah. So, but it was kind of like, it's so funny. He is so funny about things, like having a neurodivergent child who takes things literally.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot of things literally, but he loves jokes because he recognizes the form. He understands joke form.
Uh-huh.
So he will laugh at the joke without understanding it at all. Having no actual reaction to the joke. Most of the time he doesn't get it. Or he just knows that that's the same word, dad, pun. That's a pun. Or like sometimes he looks at his sister and you can tell it's because he's looking to see, is this funny? Like, what are we doing? Like, okay.
That's funny.
Little kids telling you jokes is also one of the best things because they're so bad. Like how they just they just roll through the whole thing super fast.
Yeah. Well, just when they're being silly, I don't know what happened yesterday, but for whatever reason, my kid decided that she was going to have her little Lego doll and she made her Lego doll toot. And I said, okay, well, like maybe not in my face though. Like, toot, like she brought her to me. She made her bend over. And she said toot. And I was like, oh, stinky. And then shortly after that, following the rules of comedy, she heightened it. And make pretending that the doll was doing poopy like all over the place, but she got a baby wipe, and so she had her bend over and do a poopy, and then she went and cleaned it up and went someplace else and went poop and then cleaned it up and kept going like all over.
Yeah,
and it was just like hilarious.
Yeah,
kind of gross, but also like where did you come? What? How?
It's a natural phenomenon. At that age just starts finding poop and farts so funny. My son is 7. He's at an age now where it is the funniest thing. if a fart comes up. He's now learning that farts are called different things. And my wife got me a Father's Day gift that was a book about a farting bear dad. And so they say things like the bum blaster and different things for.
Oh, that's funny.
And yeah. And he just, he thinks this is the funniest book that was ever written. And much funnier than I am. Like, just read me this book, Dad.
That's funny.
But I like that you were like, oh, gross, at the imaginary fart from the imaginary, the doll. Oh,
like, well, I mean, you know, my imagination, it's there. It's like,
that's close to my face, that imaginary fart.
Oh, too close, yucky. Well, I mean, sometimes I do laugh, but I need to try not to, because then when she's out and about, she'll do it to other people. And, you know,
that is true.
It's really hard because I do think it's funny, but I have to tell her, okay, at home. But, you know, when you're out, you toot in the bathroom or, you know.
That is the hardest thing about being a parent, is not laughing, because you know that they're going to do it at the wrong places. If they sense that this is a funny joke, they're going to try it later. They do exactly what adult comics do. Take a funny moment, like, okay, I'm going to repeat this. I'm going to bring this up again. It's going to be hilarious.
Really funny. Yeah, kids. So funny. So funny.
I've been teaching my kids how they have to pause after they ask a question. Like, I think the joke is something like, why did the Kleenex need to dance? Because it had a little boogie.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. But he would start going, how did the Kleenex learn? Why did the Kleenex learn to dance? Because it had a boogie. Mm. Like, and I'm like, okay, you got to give time for them to think. Okay, or like give them time to answer. Like, this is how comedy works. Okay, you just need to understand. You got to put a little pause in there.
Yeah.
Comedically. Ben, let me help you with your dad jokes. Does yours make jokes yet?
I don't know about like outright jokes, but she'll definitely do things that she knows are silly or she's doing to elicit a laugh. I'm trying to think what she did last night. Like, sometimes if she knows she's not supposed to do something too, like, she'll do it and then for this, like, get this extra bright, shiny light in her eyes and look at me like, you see what I'm going to do? You know, that kind of thing.
Teaching kids stage at Village Theater, I always loved. That was where I like learned my comedy with children, mm-hmm. mostly, where I discovered how much kids love for you to tell them things that are obviously not true. Like, guys, I think an elephant's been in here. They're like, no, like, oh, I think there's an elephant. I think there was an elephant here. Like, they just think it's the funniest thing. Like, saying something that's obviously not true or ridiculous.
I did hear that that's one way that you can stop like a tantrum or something too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If like, yeah, having them, you know, oh, do you see that red bird? Do you see this? Or else than saying, do you see that green sandwich? And then, no, that's not green. That's, you know.
Yeah. Somebody gave me the term for it. There is a term that's used to, yeah, switch gears. Because mm-hmm. they're trying to make sense of it in their head. And like, what? That and the hand squeezing.
Yeah.
Ice in the hands. That can, I guess the sudden... I guess you could put ice on the back too. That would, it might not like it, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sensory. I'm gonna have to look that up now. It's gonna bother me. I don't know what it
is. I think it's, I don't know, sensory, some sort of sensory redirection. Because the squeezing hand, isn't that like proprioceptive input?
And then what?
Proprioceptive.
Proprioceptive.
Yeah, I think that's
that is fancy talk.
Yeah, But it'd be better if I could describe it to exactly what it was. But I think that that's where it like helps you know where your body is in space. Impressions and things like that too. I'm pretty sure that's what the proprioceptive one is. I could look it up, but anyway, that helps. And I think the sensory stuff, something about that helps to calm your body down because it can get you, it can like calm you because it helps you to focus, right? I don't know. There's like all this stuff. There's all this information I have that I know what to do, but I'm not very good at explaining it, right?
Yeah.
Like I know there's the whole cognitive and like the lizard brain and the upstairs, downstairs, flip your lid. Yeah. And then if you're just operating from like is how much your brain is in congruence and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, I know the stuff. Not always the best at describing it.
I recently learned related to the cold thing. Do you ever get an ice cream headache? Like the cold headache? That it's actually doesn't take place in your brain. That it takes place in the back of your throat. Where the cold is, which makes sense, but it is so intense that the body does not know what to do with it and doesn't know where to tell you this is happening, so sends it to your brain, just puts it somewhere else. And I guess this is not unique to ice cream headaches. Like this could happen in the other parts of your body where it does not know. Like it feels pain, but it doesn't exactly know where it's coming from. And so it'll just pick a place in your body. And that's what it does when it gets that intense cold in the back of your throat, is it sends it to your brain. So you think you have it. As much as you feel like it's coming out of your brain, it's actually in the back of your throat.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense why the brain gets cold,
right, exactly, right?
But why, yeah. This doesn't make sense. Why do I get this?
Right.
And it literally is the way to solve it is to swallow something warm. Huh. Like you just need to heat it back up. It's because it got too cold. Yeah. So it takes smaller bites so it has time to, it's something about the speed of it getting cold is why it happens. But
I don't want it to know. But I want it like on a cone. Like I need to get some waffle cones or something about having ice cream in a cone. More calories, but also just.
Well, it was always part of the experience.
Yeah.
The cone is as much part of the experience as the ice cream. And now I feel old because I get it in cups, right? Just give me the cup. Mm-hmm. Cup has become a convenience for a lot of stuff. Yeah, the cups that my son has to my kid, like they would get, if I would get an ice cream, they could never lick it in time for it not to melt. So we would, like at Baskin Robbins once, I'm like, we got the cone. They're like, oh, can I get a cup? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, if you want a cup too, that's another 50 cents. Like, okay. And so then I just started taking napkins, just a lot of napkins.
And you're going to construct your own cup.
Yeah. I mostly eat frozen yogurt now, which there's no cones for. Self-serve. Yeah. Self-serve frozen yogurt. She got to swirl it and put the candy on it.
I'm hungry for that now. I'm not going to have it right now. I just have like Greek yogurt and.
Hey, that's almost frozen yogurt. It's like one step away.
Yeah. I mean, could be, but it was like plain, you know, it wasn't like it was just like.
Plain?
Like, I mean, you know, I don't get like flavored Greek yogurt. I get unflavored, like no sugar.
Plain. Do you mix Greek it?
Yogurt. I put a little bit of honey and granola on it, but sometimes I just don't.
Okay.
Like I could just have it by itself.
Wait, it's unflavored, but like not even vanilla, just like plain.
No, not vanilla, just plain. Yeah, because it has so much added sugar when you get vanilla. Like just put like a teeny bit of honey on top, or just it's too sweet. I don't really.
I use it for a sour cream substitute now.
Oh,
I made fun of my wife for years for this. And now I started and I'm like, oh my God, this is actually really good. Like,
okay, you know, I should try it then because I don't normally eat sour cream.
Right. So like on a taco or something.
Yeah, yeah, I normally don't get sour
cream. Now my kids want the they don't want sour cream. They want the non-fat Greek yogurt.
Nice.
And so now it's great because I don't have to buy sour cream for extra things. And I just put that on. They're like, yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
Or a new protein hack that I've started. I thought this would be gross.
Okay.
Apparently you can substitute ricotta cheese.
Yuck.
With cottage cheese.
Disgusting. I just want to say yuck
because he's okay.
Gross. So I was like, no matter what you said, I was gonna be like, yeah. Okay, so can substitute ricotta with cottage cheese.
Yeah. So I know some people do that for lasagna, but like what I do, like I had learned a while ago just to throw a little ricotta onto your like spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Like spaghetti and you put it down, throw it in. And this is a little tastier. So I've been doing that with cottage cheese.
Interesting.
Throw it in there. And then I get it. And then it does not taste like cottage cheese. It tastes like sauce and cheese. Like it's just, ooh, good. Oh, I love it. And it's high protein. So
that sounds good.
Mix that with my protein pasta. And this carb heavy dish is now like a protein heavy dish. So it's great.
Nice.
Yeah. Look, I didn't get mildly obese. I didn't go from obese to mildly obese without a lot of hard work. Okay. High protein meals.
Yeah.
I should put that in my Christmas card.
Sure should.
Because I do the top, we always do the top things, like top 15 things.
I like your Christmas cards. Yeah. Those are fun.
Yeah. And I could put, you know, oh, we went and Sierra graduated from high school. We went to our cousin's wedding in Tri-Cities. Silas had success in his weight loss and went from obese to mildly obese. I could bring it.
Then you can give them some mildly obese recipes too. You can have a mildly obese cookbook. I like that. The black and a half mildly obese cookbook.
That could actually work. It sounds like that the MFing cookbook. There's a whole thing where they cuss.
Oh, that's funny. I don't
know. They just cuss the whole time. It's like it's called like a ghetto cookbook. It's like, get some MFing onions in here.
Nice.
It's hilarious. I did want to ask you, have you been able to play an instrument?
No, I haven't. You know what it is? Okay, so I didn't get my keyboard yet. I know I'd be playing the keyboard because it's so easy to just hop on it, right? I took out my violin, 2 weeks ago or something. I noticed one of the strings broke. And I was like, I'm not going to replace it. I'm actually contemplating selling that violin because I don't know the next, like that and my mandolin. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to put time into these. Maybe I should try to sell them because, you know, you can't put time into everything right now. Right,
yeah.
Especially this season of life. Like I just can't put time into all those things. And I would be much more motivated to play my cello. But when it was out on the stand, I could take it down, do 5-10 minute sessions easy, but now it's like, oh, the work of lugging it out, getting it set up, blah, blah, blah. But like, I could do my practice for the day and how much time it would have been. Mm-hmm. So until that gets set up, like, anyway, I did see like a really cheap guitar I was thinking of getting. Like, it looked like a good quality of guitar, but it was cheap on Facebook Marketplace. So I'm like, oh, maybe that's easy to take it out.
Yeah, you can't. There's so many guitars for sale.
Right.
I've now learned in buying guitars for the family, pretty much. Like, it's really just about location.
Yeah.
Is this close to me?
Yeah.
Because one's going to be available tomorrow. I don't think there's a thing that people give up more than the guitar. Like, because people either, I tried it, I never did it, it's still there, basically new, come buy it for a fraction of what I bought it for.
I had one years ago that I tried, but I just, you know, there weren't as many lessons on YouTube or anything like that. Like, I didn't have a teacher. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. I really think what I would play the most right now would actually be a keyboard. I just haven't gotten one.
Yeah. So then the other, but people then also get rid of guitars because they've gotten good and they bought a better guitar. So really there's just always a, and every guitar sounds a little different for the different styles. I mean, maybe that's the same for other like cello and keyboard too, but they, yeah, people seem to always have a different reason to be buying or selling different guitars. I wonder if that's, I do wonder if that's all string instruments. They sound a little,
like, a different tone for sure, but
like a violin.
I mean, there's, they, like, they do have different tones, but like guitars, aren't there like acoustic guitars and I don't know, there's like different versions of guitars too.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's acoustic, electric, and then classical, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is an acoustic. But then also, but some, the way they're built, they sound better. This one song sounds better doing this in this style, or it's a brighter guitar, so it'll sound. Our friend Derek, good friend of the program, Derek Sheen, I asked him because he has like 12 guitars or whatever, and I was like, well, why do you need so many? He's like, well, some songs are just better on a different type, this different one. So I'm like, oh, really? And I always thought that sounded like crazy until I've now been playing for 3 or 4 months. And I'm like, oh, no, I get it now.
It's been 3 or 4 months already.
I think it's been. I think it has been.
No, it makes sense. It's just time flies.
I guess maybe it's just barely 3 months. I think I got it right when Gretchen went in for surgery. So that'd be about like 3 months. Right before I got into bass.
It's been a while.
So it actually hasn't been as long as I thought. Feels like it's been forever.
That's cool. So what are you playing now?
Fast Car. Tracy Chapman.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
That's the big one I've been working on. I've probably spent the most time on. I'm now trying to get the voice with it because it doesn't. I'm so used to singing with like musicals where you're kind of trying to hit the note usually that they're playing. And this song doesn't do that. You hit a different note than's being played when you sing. Like it's a different, you don't go up with it. And I'm trying to adjust because my brain wants to go with it and not stay at this level, this lower pitch. So I'm having to like retrain myself how to sing with that. Train, sing.
Car.
There's a Jelly Roll song that I'm working on called I Am Not Okay. Jelly Roll. That's been one of my bigger surprises in life is that I actually like Jelly Roll. I thought, first off, I heard the name and I was already not a fan. Jelly Roll. And then I was confused, like, what is he? And then I'm like, he's a country guy? He looks like a rapper. And it turns out he was a rapper. And then he became a country artist. And he is a. Do you know who he is?
I was just thinking, was he on Saturday Night Live recently?
He could have been.
Let me look him up.
Large Caucasian fellow.
I think so.
A shrinking Caucasian. Apparently he's getting into this fitness. So.
He's got your cookbook.
He's got tats all over his face and everything.
I think I saw him on.
Yeah.
Let me see.
He has a few songs that we like. I like that one a lot. And then.
Yeah.
Do you know Jeremy Passion?
I don't think so. That name doesn't sound familiar.
He has a song called Lemonade that I really like, and it's not like Beyonce's at all. It's actually played on ukulele, but there's a guitar version. His famous version is on ukulele, but he plays it on guitar. And then, I somehow missed an artist. Leon Bridges. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, but not enough.
Okay, because every time I bring him up to somebody, they're like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm like,
what was I doing?
Leon Bridges, he has a song called Beyond that I just think is beautiful. I haven't started working on that one yet, but I want to. I have a whole list of songs now. It's really messing with my Spotify playlist, by the way, or suggested songs.
That's fun. Now I'm going to get a keyboard again. I was actually going to get myself a keyboard for my birthday, but I didn't do that. I got myself instead a book of 360, I think it was like 360 daily meditations by the Stoics.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Wait, would you get a full-size keyboard?
Depends how heavy it is. Like, I'd want to get a full-size because then I could keep it longer. But space-wise, it would be super to get.
Obviously, a full-size is going to be longer.
Well, right. I mean, But it'd probably be smarter to get a, like, the 61-inch or whatever, just so that it doesn't take up as much space right now.
Yeah.
With all my other instruments, with my band I've got going here. I've got like a harmonica too.
I have a harmonica.
I am bad at it, but I love it. And I play it as if I know what I'm doing.
get your hands up around it.
Yeah. And I like to hop around. And
I just looked up how to do a scale on the harmonica. And nice. It wasn't what I thought it was. Like, I'm learning scales are not what I thought they were. But it actually sounds nice. Like, oh, this is actually a pleasant sounding song. And it's just the scale. Great. Scale of the
internet. I need to find where I put it. Because it feels like you can't be in a bad mood when you're on the harmonica. I mean,
it is a blues instrument.
I know. But then if you are, it's just kind of like, luxuriate in it a bit. Like, it's almost like if I had bagpipes, like I couldn't be in a bad mood while I was playing the bagpipes. Just everybody around me would be
right. Yeah.
They'd be like, shut the hell up. You don't even know what you're doing. And you're not Scottish. I have a kilt.
Do you have a kilt?
I don't. No, but I used to, when the plaid skirts were like all the rage, like I used to have so many plaid skirts. I don't have any anymore, but
Women have kilts?
No, I don't think that women.
Okay. I don't know.
I could be wrong. Scottish person listening, that are huge fan base in Scotland, you can let me know if I'm wrong.
I am 4% Scottish according to the ancestry DNA.
I didn't check mine. Yeah. If I were, it would explain a lot.
Just a little tiniest bit. All right. Hey, we got to get going. This was a good catch up episode.
Yeah, that was nice to see you.
Yeah, we'll have we got some interviews coming up that people are going to love. Yeah. I've got a feeling. And now I can't remember the artist's name. I was going to say an artist. I got a feeling. Ooh.
Yeah.
I can't sing too much of it. Yeah. Is that Black Eyed Peas?
I don't know. You know what's so funny to me too? It's like we both have our computers and our phones, but instead we just have like a normal conversation as if we didn't have technology. Where it's like, what is it?
Grew up in the time when you didn't have that stuff. So
I know, but also it is kind of sometimes it is nice to go through the process of like, okay. And then I know we do have to go. But I played Scattergories with my family the other day. Have you played that game?
Yeah, a long time ago.
So fun, right? I haven't played it in years. So fun. And like the best part was my mom, bless her, She didn't sleep very much the day before, so she was a little out of it. She messed up around, like, so she totally misunderstood how, like, to do one, and we felt bad for her. So we're like, okay, we're gonna do it again. Like, we won't have a turn, but you have your turn.
Yeah.
And then she messed it up even worse the second time. And she just put in, like, letters for whatever. Like, she just answered it as if it was a survey or whatever. We forgot it was supposed to be the same letter. And oh my gosh, that was one of the best, most hilarious things that has happened in a while. And I'm so happy that she did it wrong. It was just so much more fun that that happened, which is just to say that, you know, sometimes just sitting around going, I don't know, or what is it, or doing something and making a mistake, it makes it so much more, so much fun.
Yeah. Hmm. Deep thoughts with Samantha.
Yes, deep thoughts. Why is the dove the sign of peace and not the pillow? It has all of the feathers without the dangerous feet. I remember that was a deep thoughts quote from the segment they used to do on SNL all the way back. I think that was all the way back in the 90s. And I thought it was so funny and clever that it's just, like, stayed in my memory for all of these years.
It's a, I like that you said back in the 90s.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Like that was.
Well, I have to say that now.
Back then, back forever ago.
Silas. Okay, because we're talking about the 90s, I have to show you something. Okay, I just did, and then I know we have to go. Look at what I got. Oh, wait, you can't see it because I have. Can you even see my face? No, because
no.
Dang it. Anyways, it's what the freaking Friends Lego television series.
Oh, is it like, does it have the lights on it too?
Let me see if I can see
it. Or is it just the living room?
That's not happening. It's the coffee shop.
The coffee shop? But is it done like a studio where it has?
Oh yeah, it does. It does have the lights up. Like
okay.
A studio. And somebody else freaking gave it to me. They were like, it was so sweet. They were like, oh, you like Legos? I have extra Legos. Did you watch Friends? I was like, yes, I did. And they were like, let me see. And they found it and they gave it to me. It's still in the box. And I was like, thank you. My birthday's coming up. I'm going to just wrap it up and surprise myself with this kind thing that.
What? That is awesome.
I know, right? I'm like, and then my kid is like, oh, yay, more toy. We're going to play. And I'm like, no, this one's for mommy.
Yeah.
This one's for mommy.
These are grown-up Legos. You
have to hide it.
Kid.
I don't want those pieces to get lost.
Yeah.
Until she's older. I'm like, it's just going to put the set. Bless your heart.
Does it come with a smelly cat?
Oh my gosh. What are they feeding you? They're feeding you from Silas's cookbook. They should be. Because then they wouldn't be smelly.
Do you know they had to teach her, I think, how to play badly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, she was playing it too good when it started.
I don't see Smelly Cat. Aw. I see her with her guitar. She's probably singing Smelly Cat. But I don't see the cat. Well, I'll have to let you know when I finally put it up, if I find one.
Okay. You can always add one in.
Yeah, right?
Just... a little, the scale could be off a little, but it was the smelly cat. All right, black and a half.